Hello and greetings, and thank you for tuning into a new episode of the In Right Standing podcast, a podcast for the unique, the peculiar, and the chosen who want to be in right standing with themselves and with life. I'm your host, Jada Cofield, and on today's episode, these are random thoughts of wisdom with the focus being on the socially awkward Christian. Before we get started, be sure to check us out on your Roku TV. Just head over to your Roku channel store and download the In Right Standing app. If you don't have Roku TV, you can watch our channel at www.inrightstanding.tv. Now, let's dive right into the episode. Being socially awkward means you have trouble communicating with others. As a result, limiting your life experiences. It means you have limited social skills. It's a collection of feelings and experiences that form a negative pattern in your life. Therefore, you don't learn or explore anything new. It's the failure to notice certain social cues that help us grow, learn, and meet others. The purpose of this topic is as a result of the previous podcast on discipleship and leadership and my experiences in social networks and with other people and things that I have observed, I have learned and seen over the years. Christians really do not know how to quote unquote catch fish, or in other words, meet people and establish relationships. We very seldom have classes or teach you how. We just say, go to church or bring them to church. And the first socially awkward characteristic of a Christian I see often is asking someone to come to church with you and not establishing a relationship with them. Asking someone to come to church with you, it is not discipleship, as mentioned in the previous podcast. Also, if someone asks you if you have a relationship with Christ and you say, oh yes, I attend this church, that's not the same. Inviting people to church will assist you to assist another, but it does not start or stop there. Like I have said before, Jesus did not die for you to become a member, but rather a part of the body of Christ and kingdom of God. Jesus and the disciples traveled about. They ministered to the people where they were and invoked them to believe and become a part of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. Let's also keep in mind, on a global scale, there are believers who are still being persecuted. So the idea of church building or church building would be death by hanging for them or their tongues cut out. They have church by meeting in each other's homes privately as they pray and seek God for strength. They are the church. No membership, no new members class, no usher board, and no auxiliaries. They fellowship, worship, and seek God's face. Full stop. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Again, I am not against membership, but in this dispensation, it has really been taken out of context, and it's evident that people are members, but they are not leaders or world changers. Pastor Sunday, who has the largest church in the Ukraine of about 10,000 plus, was visiting here in the States and was speaking to about 20 of us leaders in a meeting. And he said one of the things he finds fascinating about the American church is that a person is born, lives, and dies in their ministry. He said if someone identifies as a leader in his church, they sit under him for 3 years of intense training, and he will release them and help establish them. And they cannot stay any longer than 5 years as a minister unless they become a part of the staff or are a pillar. You should have seen those pastors' faces in the room. You could have heard a pin drop. Our pews are empty and full at the same time. Empty because we do not know how to fish, and full because we do not disciple. people put the discipling responsibility solely on the pastor and the church when it's a collective responsibility. According to Colossians 1 and 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You and I have a responsibility to help people grow up in the Word of God. A body is one unit, many beautiful moving parts making up a wonderful being. Catching fish can be frustrating, rewarding, and rejecting at the same time, and requires patience and being in the right place where fish will be. Your social circle is your choice and is often like-minded people. But if that's all you know and or interact with, where is the ministry? Are you a part of or have any other hobbies that will cause you to experience others unlike yourself and that are not familiar with the church, or better yet, the kingdom of God? People need to see your example, your faithfulness, your hope, your purity, and that does not mean just behind the four walls. Leaders in the church should use the church as the time to show forth the ministry of Christ and to edify. That's why I go to church. I go to church to minister. Like one bishop has said, if Jesus was here now in our churches, he would not know what an usher board is. What examples are you of in your community, city, home, and workplace? A socially awkward Christian does not have a light shining outside the building, only a dim reflection within. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A net or even a line has to be cast in order to catch fish. A socially awkward Christian thinks people are supposed to come to them in their church while they go and do nothing, stuck in a bubble. It should be both. People came to Jesus to hear the gospel and be healed by him. And there were times when Jesus went to the people to share both. The second socially awkward characteristic I see is not knowing enough about the world you live in or the people in it, not knowing anything about how anyone else in the world lives, and having no geographical astuteness. But you're called to the nations. One very well-known global evangelist said that one of the things they regret about traveling the world preaching the gospel is that they never took the time to learn the culture, customs, or the community they were ministering in. I've seen it a lot as I have lived abroad for missions and work. They were invited because of their popularity, but they left in shame. They knew nothing of the people. At least do your homework. Ask what it is like living here. What are the traditions? Ask to stay with a local and have lunch and dinner in the host pastor's home. Sit for hours and fellowship. That's by far the greatest ministry, especially to the leaders and ministers in the community. People are hungry globally for leadership and direction. And I just gave you that tip for free. Jesus knew where he was, who he was among, and able to speak to them in ways they would understand. Okay, so you're listening and say, I don't travel. I can't travel. That's not what I'm called to do. I beg to differ. So, how many friends or associates do you have of other nationalities just where you live? There is your Jerusalem, which is your family, Then there's your Judea, the community you live in around. And then your Jordan, beyond the outer parts, where we can venture to. The gospel is for everyone, my friend. Well, you don't understand, Jada. I'm an introvert. So, as an introvert, you get to remain the same as a new creature in Christ? What's the point of salvation if we get to hold on and cherish our personality type and make them our stumbling block for leading others? How many times do you go places or only go places that are familiar to you or only have your race or culture? Sometimes I purposely shop at just different stores outside of my local community just so I can just get a new feel for new people and see what even the other foods they may have, because demographically sometimes some places have things and others don't. But I purposely do that. But you say you're called to the nations and your ministry is international? I've heard people say they are called to the nations and they're international, and I have had to pull them aside and ask them, do you even have a passport? That's being socially awkward, acting like something you're not. So if the call comes, can you go? Your papers aren't in order. If the leadership or mentorship I sit under doesn't work, travel abroad or out in the community, I've learned not to submit to that leadership. That would kill, you hear me? Kill my anointing. They get church, they don't get ministry. There's a difference, and one that can cost you your gift, your anointing, and your future if you don't know how to discern what time and where you are supposed to be. I recently met someone that I admire, and they just so happened to do business in Africa. So the relationship was kind of a no-brainer. I didn't have to worry about socially awkward comments about Africa. Oh, I heard Africa's full of witchcraft and dangerous. So is Savannah, Georgia, New Orleans, let's see, Boston, Massachusetts, Maryland, oh, and Atlanta. And I'm not labeling other states, however, Africa is not the only place with witchcraft. Come on, people. Africa is a continent composed of 54 very different countries. They all have their own language, their own laws. Each country has its own government. Each of the 54 countries has its own currency or money. And they do not all have heavy witchcraft. No matter what you see in the news, Africa is one of God's many crown jewels, and He has a plan for the continent, just like He has a plan for you and I. So when we are socially awkward, we say things we don't know, just based on what we heard someone told us who's never been, or allow the news to dictate to us. I lived in a country that is considered the seventh most peaceful country in the world. And oh, guess what? It's in Africa. Instead, one should say, where exactly is that located? Or ask the question, how are the people there? I mentioned to you before in the Boring, the Basic, and the Brilliant Woman podcast, I would put my mouth on cities and people because I was socially ignorant. So I have been there. However, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I am not a child anymore, and neither should you be in this matter. You're missing people and opportunity to share the love of Christ. And let's just get something straight. Every territory has demons and angels, no matter where you are in the world. We call ourselves disciples, and we know nothing about anything or anyone. You cannot teach what you do not know. The third socially awkward behavior I see is there have been many opportunities and doors I've wanted to open for other people and build relationship with other leaders, but their socially awkward comments and behavior have shut it down. Their behavior lets me know they will be unable to handle the door. I was speaking at an event, and when one of the other speakers finished, they sat down and began to lambast another person. I had not even met this speaker prior to this event, but their criticism was such an immediate turnoff, I decided not to pursue a business relationship with them any further. Needless to say, I'm a big girl, and when you don't play nicely, I don't play with you. Socially awkward. Christians in business who think doing all this big talking first and who you know means you're smart or big shot. Nope, it means you're not. Everyone knows in the art of a deal, the one who speaks first will lose it. I founded a tech company a few years back and I am no longer a part of it, but we were having a meeting with another company one day to discuss a possible merger. And I told the guys on my team before we walked in, hey, can you guys do me a favor? I said, don't say too much and let them do all the talking. The other company talked for 45 minutes straight. And guess what we discovered? They were in debt and we weren't. And they were looking to merge with someone to take on them debt. If we had have talked first, they would have probably never shared, and we would have gotten far in the deal before discovering. The guys were like, Jada, thank you so much. You're not ready for elevation or open doors when your ego is in the way. Socially awkward. So, let's run through a few things in social circles when meeting people that are considered faux pas, unprofessional, or poor etiquette, and will cause people not to want to engage or continue establishing a relationship with you. Number one, discussing money. Asking someone how much they make or how much something costs is poor etiquette and awkward. Or making comments about what someone may have spent by saying, oh, that's too much. I wouldn't pay that for something like that. Oh, rude. Asking a person how they make or have made their money. Very poor etiquette and a no-no, especially among the wealthy. Instead, ask, what are some of your passions in life? Or what are you passionate about? Yeah, probably does sound a little strange, huh? But believe it or not, a lot of people do not like to be asked, well, what do you do for a living? Some people don't like what they do. It's just a job to them, so they rather not discuss it. Other people don't like to share because they are private and don't want people to judge their worth or value based on it. Asking, what are some of your passions in life? Opens a door for a much richer conversation because you will be surprised at what one may share and also find a way you may have things in common. Number two, discussing medical issues and or a disease. I don't know you. I just met you. And now I know you have high blood pressure and on medication. That's awkward, or how your knees are bad or you just had surgery. Awkward. Number three, discussing religion or making comments about other religions. You're telling me about your church, this and your church, that, and we do this at my church, and we do this at my church. That's not sharing the gospel of salvation. That's sharing your religion and your recreational affiliation. Number four, asking someone if they are married. That's a very sensitive subject for many, especially when in the USA, the average woman of color doesn't get married until 35. Some people are sensitive about that or may have gone through a divorce or are widowed. Now, are you prepared to hear that? If someone begins to open up about how they just lost their loved one, you may not be at a function. So instead, say, "Hi, so do you have a partner or companion?" That leaves room for a person to tell you the truth. "Yes, I have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Yes, I am married," or "no," or even a person to let you know they are in a same-sex relationship, whether you like it or not. Also, people who may be in a common-law marriage. I lived in a country in Europe that had a very high number of common-law marriages, and when I lived there, I met more people who were common-law than married. Learn the world and stop trying to make the world learn you. We are in it, but we're not supposed to be of the world. Know the difference. Number 5, asking someone when you first meet them, "So, do you have children?" With infertility being a sensitive, private, and sometimes painful topic, and a challenge for many, this is a rude question. I usually just say to a person meeting them for the first time, "Do you have a family?" That can be anything. "Yes, it's me and my fur baby, which is a dog. Yes, it's me and my mother. Yes, it's me and my husband and our 3 beautiful kids. Yes, it's me and my sister," or "it's just me." Let them describe what and who their family may be. What I deem family, you may not, and vice versa. Number 6, talking too much. Oversharing to seem like you're the boss chick or the smart one, or you the baddest man in the room and you know something about everyone. That's a telltale sign that a person suffers from social awkwardness. Oversharing is inappropriate. You ever notice Jesus always knew what to say and when, and it was never too much? Quick to listen, slow to speak. What if someone says they have 4 more kids? Do you make a face or say, "Oh my goodness," or "How rude"? Instead, say, "That is wonderful," or "That's beautiful." Not, "Man, how you do all that?" Or, "Man, you must not ever get any rest." That's so rude. How about when we comment even on a person's body shape or size? "Oh my goodness, you're so skinny." But can that person say, "Oh my goodness, you're so fat"? Either way, that's not nice. Rather, "Girl, you have a nice figure," or "You look so pretty." I always seem to find something I can compliment a person on. Hair, eyes, jewelry, shoes, bag, personality, or smile. Or how about things women ministers say to others? Like, "Oh well, they listen to you because you're cute." Excuse me? How rude. Well, you know, I don't do ministry like you do. I don't do it like that. I have my own way. Okay, why are we comparing? You're supposed to administer the word in your own style. Duh, that's what the Bible says. That's a very awkward statement. Not to mention the very socially awkward comments leaders have made about COVID, especially in the beginning, and how they and their church have been immune. That is socially awkward, rude, inconsiderate, and boastful. Not nice, not nice at all. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." You are supposed to know how to talk to people. Period. Full stop. Are you hearing me? Okay. These are just a few socially awkward things we do as Christians that we ourselves run people off. This is why we cannot catch fish, or people don't stay when they visit our churches. Socially awkward. These are some of the things I train and do workshops in. Some of the things we have done over the last decade are awkward. But if we don't get out and learn, we will never know. One of the things my company does is assessments for 501c3 and businesses. Basically, I'm an assessor. And what is an assessor? a profit. I go in and experience what your customer or members would experience and then give you a comprehensive report with the solutions. When I was young, my pastor had a lady assess our ministry and nobody knew that she was there. And her report came back as saying we were a friendly church, but we just didn't get the job done. And this actually was a pain point for the ministry for years and explained the communication breakdown and the turnover of members. Our behavior was awkward. We have to stop assuming that people know. I've done assessments for mega churches. I've done assessments for mega churches and even events and companies. And the assumption is that the president or the pastor knows everything that's going on, and he doesn't, and he doesn't have to. That's why you have a staff. That's why you have a team. That's why you have ministers. But some practices we have are outdated from the time people walk through the door. Are you asking your people to come back to church with absolutely no training and or getting rid of any of the old? I've even said that I even question if people who are now going back into the church go back into the church with every single minister that they started out pre-pandemic. I actually question that, and I will tell you why. As one commentator said, you know, the pandemic was like a very long sabbatical where people had a lot of time to think and really question about themselves, where they were going, where they want to go. And so even in the news, we've been seeing lately that there have been over 5 million people just in America alone. We're not even talking about the other countries, those of you that I know who listen to me abroad, but there's been millions abroad as well, who once the vaccination came out, put in resignations because they wanted to change careers or to pursue a passion. And so I think that's healthy and I think that's right. So I wonder if none of your ministers, none of the leaders came to you and just said, Pastor, I'm going to do a 360 or I won't be returning after this pandemic. I actually question that because it's like things that we do in the church, but there are people who are going to change and come to the realization. And the truth of the matter is, but they should. If they're your leaders and they've been under you for years and there's some other things that they've been passionate about, they should, and you should welcome it. But I'm asking, are you asking your people to come back? No training or getting rid of the old, or those who've just come to you and say, Pastor, I feel God is calling me in a different way. Or what about even in your personal life? What have you learned? What have you changed? The socially awkward Christian. I end with this. Daniel 12:3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What a beautiful promise and reward. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the In Right Standing podcast, a podcast for the unique, the peculiar, and the chosen who want to live right and at the end of the day, be in right standing with themselves, with others, and of course, most importantly, with Christ. We are at the season end and we may be gone for a moment. But if you want to stay connected and know what we are working on and some of the behind the scenes and even my travel vlogging, hint, hint, and activities, be sure to sign up for our group app. Just type in on your computer or even on your phone in your search browser, inrightstanding.group.app/invite. And the link is in the description below. Until next time!